Morning. You guys get out your Bibles, James chapter 3, 13 to 18. James 3, 13 to 18. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible, one of my favorite passages in James. James 3, 13 to 18. Wisdom from above or wisdom from below? Wisdom from above or wisdom from below. So last Sunday, James was warning us about how not many people should become teachers in light of the power of the tongue and the destructiveness of the tongue. He told us that teachers would be held to stricter judgment by the Lord. So how do we know if we should teach? How do we know who should teach? How do we know who should be elders in the church to whom the teaching ministry is entrusted? How do we know if we have wisdom and understanding from God? And I think that connects us from the last section to this one, is he's going to explain to us the difference. He's going to show us the difference of wisdom that comes from above, from God, and wisdom that comes from the earth or worse. But it's really an important question for us to ask, because lots of people are deceived about this. Lots of people are deceived about what wisdom really looks like. Solomon the wise said, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." So it's common for foolish people to think that they're wise. So if you think that you should obviously be listened to, and you have not carefully considered why, that's not a good sign. But also, we need to know, who do we listen to, right? Should people listen to us? Not many should become teachers, James told us in the last one, because our tongues are powerful and they're dangerous, and so we should be very careful about it. We should be very careful about thinking when we teach others, but also who we listen to. Because we live in a time that's unprecedented in human history where just voices abound, don't they? Don't you just feel like voices clamor for your attention and for your clicks and for your ear? Everybody has a podcast, a YouTube channel, a social media account, a personal website under their own personal name. And in a way, that's a blessing that we have this. Like in a way, it's a blessing that we have this availability to so many voices, because good teaching can really spread far and wide. And yet it means that we all need a lot of discernment about who we listen to, about what voices we actually follow. There are literally people who are trained to know how to get you to follow and listen to them. That's like their entire training. There's teams of people that are employed to try to get you to listen to the voices that will make them the most money. And so you have to be filled with discernment to know who to listen to and who to ignore. And each of us should aspire to be truly wise and understanding. All of us should want wisdom. As Solomon said, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. He said, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. We know that he who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will come to ruin. So, who is wise and understanding among you? This is the question James brings to us today. Who is wise and understanding among you? He's going to teach us to discern between true wisdom and its counterfeit, to know the difference between heavenly wisdom and demonic wisdom. So he's going to highlight true wisdom for us this morning by contrasting them in three areas. So the wisdom that comes down from above is different from the wisdom that comes up from below in three ways. They have a different source, they have different works, and then they have different results. So we're going to see those three things this morning in James. Let's read James 3, 13 and following, and then we'll think about wisdom and understanding. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So first, let's think for a minute about wisdom and understanding. This is the topic James is putting in front of us. This is what he's teaching us to discern and understand. We've said before that the book of James is considered part of the wisdom literature of the Bible. The Bible has different types of writings. A significant chunk of your Bible is what's called wisdom literature. It's literature designed to teach you wisdom, to give you instruction, because your God loves wisdom. Wisdom was daily God's delight, the Proverbs say, as he was creating the world. Is wisdom daily your delight? Well, what is wisdom? The Proverbs often talk about knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. This kind of full-orbed look at the truth. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And in our passage, James is focusing on understanding and wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? And I think this is related to James's discussion about faith and works that we've been looking at. Faith and works and kind of empty religion that knows how to talk about things but doesn't have the reality of them. Because knowledge generally refers to having the facts, knowing the data, knowing the information. Now, knowledge is foundational. You can't reason about information you don't possess. In order to understand something, you first have to know some stuff about it. You need to have basic knowledge. But knowledge is only the beginning. Knowledge is only the start. It's like the demons who believe in God but aren't justified. They're not saved. They believe in God and tremble, but they don't know him. They have knowledge about God, but they don't understand the significance of that knowledge, and they don't know how to use that knowledge, which is what wisdom does. So if knowledge is having the information, the facts, understanding is knowing what that information means, the significance of information. And again, it's important that we understand these biblical distinctions because we live in a world now that's just drowning in knowledge. And that's not a bad thing. It's not bad to have lots of knowledge, but my kids are amazed when I tell them that back in the day, if we wanted to know a piece of knowledge or information we didn't have, we had to go to the shelf and pull this giant book called an encyclopedia off the shelf and look it up and find the word, and then you get a paragraph on it. And that's how we did it. And if you didn't have an encyclopedia, you just said, I don't know. But today, we just have knowledge ready. If there's a fact you don't know, you can just pull out your phone, Google it, and find out the information and get a bunch of knowledge and a bunch of facts. But that doesn't mean that we have understanding. And it certainly doesn't mean that we have wisdom. So knowledge is having the facts. Understanding, now that James is talking about who's wise and understanding, understanding involves knowing why things are what they are, knowing how facts relate to each other. What are the implications of facts? So you might know that vegetables are good for you. That might be some knowledge that you possess. Vegetables are good for you. That's good. Understanding would include knowing why they're good for you. What do they provide for you that helps you? What do they do? What do they have that's good? What is it good for? Are they sufficient as a source of food? Things like that. Or to make it more spiritual, you might know that your old man, your old self, is dead. That you've put off the old man and you have put on the new man. You might have that fact of knowledge, but understanding involves knowing why that is and how it works. How have you put off the old man, the old self, and how does that work? So that would involve knowing things like knowing that faith unites you to Christ in his death and resurrection, and because you've been united to Christ in his death and resurrection, your former self has died, and you are now a new self who's alive by faith in the inner man. You have been raised with Christ from the dead. That's understanding. So you might know the fact that your old self has died, but do you understand how that works and why it works? And then wisdom is the next section of the next phase of knowledge. So you have facts, and then you have understanding. You get kind of how it works. But then wisdom is that you know what that means and you know how to use it. Not just the facts or how they relate, but how these truths work in the world. Somebody said that knowledge is knowing tomato as a fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put it in your fruit salad. So it's how to use the facts, right? You might know the facts and understand why. Well, because fruits have seeds or something. I can't remember the details of that. Some of you are good at filling me in on those details. I don't know later. I appreciate that. I should call you before the sermon. But on a more serious application of it, right? You know, say, okay, so let's think about a piece of like theological knowledge. Your old self is dead. He has died. The Bible teaches this. You know that your old man is dead. You understand that this happened as a gift from God by trusting in Jesus, so you're united with him, and your old man has died with him, and you are now resurrected along with him in your inner being, having been made alive. Okay, that's the understanding of it. So what does wisdom about that doctrine do? Wisdom means then that you know that fact, you understand how it works, and then when you're tempted to sin, when you're tempted to act like the old man, you know how to reach into your heart and pull out that truth that no, the old man is dead, and therefore, I'm free from this kind of behavior. You tell your temptation that you don't have to listen to it because sin no longer has dominion over you. You believe that you're dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, and that that happens by faith, and so you believe that doctrine in the face of temptation, and you overcome by the truth of God's word. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom takes the fact, the old man is dead, how it works by faith union with Christ, and then applies it in your life when you're thinking about committing a sin and you tell yourself, no, how can I walk any longer in sin because I have died to it? And then you find freedom and power in God's word. So knowledge, you need the knowledge as the base of that. You need the understanding of how it works, but what we want is wisdom. We want to know how to use the truth. What does it mean for our lives? We should all be pursuing that kind of wisdom in every area of life, especially where God has called us to particularly. If you're a doctor, you should pursue knowledge, understanding, and wisdom about the human body, about sicknesses and how they interact. You should know how those things work, should know the basic facts, how it works, and then how to apply that in actual cases in front of you. If you're a farmer, you should pursue knowledge, understanding, and wisdom about how crops grow, how they interact with the soil and natural conditions and environment, and then how to apply that, how to use that so that you have an abundance of crops and harvest. We should all pursue knowledge, understanding, and wisdom about God and about worship in the Christian life. But without knowledge and understanding, we won't likely have wisdom. We have to know the stuff. We have to understand how it works so that we can live by it, so that we can apply it well. So James asks, who is wise and understanding among you? Those are the ones that you want to listen to. Those who know the facts, know how they work, and then know how they apply to life, how to work them out, how they actually land on the ground. So let's think about wisdom and how it works and how to use it. First, we're going to look at the source. So we're going to go a little bit out of order of James here because he shows three different things. Remember, the source of where the different kinds of wisdom come from. And then he shows what the works of them are and then what the results of them are. So we're going to start with the source of the different kinds of wisdom. See, the source of true wisdom by contrasting it with its opposite. Look again at verses 14 and 15. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So true wisdom comes down from above. It's a gift from God. Does it sound familiar? Wisdom comes down from above. Remember James 1:16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift comes down from above, and so it is with wisdom. Wisdom is a good gift from God. It comes down from heaven. By God's will, He brings us forth by the word of truth to make us a kind of first fruits of His creatures. God chooses in His grace, according to His will, to give wisdom to us as a free gift, so that our lives will be an offering to Him. And remember that that heavenly wisdom is freely offered to you. If anybody lacks wisdom, just let him ask God. If you want more wisdom from heaven, all you have to do is ask, and God will send it down from heaven. It's heavenly wisdom. But its opposite, counterfeit wisdom, has a different source. Okay? True wisdom comes down from above. The false wisdom, it says in verse 15, is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So counterfeit wisdom is earthly. It's from the earth as opposed to from heaven. Now the earth isn't bad, but the earth isn't your source of wisdom. Wisdom comes down from above. Wisdom is a gift from God. Have you ever heard people try to reason from animal behavior to human behavior to get their wisdom from the earth? Well, the penguins do it. So should we. Penguins do, and dogs eat their own waste, and black widows eat their own mates, and we've all seen the monkeys at the zoo. That's not where we go for our wisdom. Counterfeit wisdom is earthly. That's not what we're after. God at times reveals heavenly wisdom in the things that have been made. You can learn about laziness from the ant, for example, but the earth is not the source of the wisdom. It's woven into it from heaven. Wisdom is a gift that comes down from God. Counterfeit wisdom is earthly. It's also unspiritual. It's unspiritual. This word that James uses that we translate as unspiritual is related to the word for your soul. It comes out of like human nature. Because human nature is fallen in sin. You can't simply look to your own soul, to your own nature, to get guidance on what to do. You can't simply look to your own feelings to be your guide. You can't look to your own instincts to be your guide. If you go up to the college up here on the hill, there are banners that say, curiosity is your compass. Curiosity is your compass. That's looking for wisdom from your soul, from your own inclinations. But that's not a good idea. Remember how well that worked out for Curious George. Or the proverbial cat. You can't be whatever you feel. Whatever you feel like you are is not where wisdom comes from. That leads to destruction. You can't just follow your heart and follow your feelings and be fine. False wisdom is earthly and it's unspiritual. It's just from your own senses, your own feelings. Now you do have a conscience in your psyche that's from heaven that will guide you well, but that's again because it's informed from above, because God has put it in you to tell you right from wrong. Your hunger drives you to get food, that's good, but you need more understanding and more wisdom to guide and direct that, because you can't just eat whatever. So counterfeit wisdom is earthly and it's unspiritual. We shouldn't be looking for wisdom just from nature or from our own soul or from human nature. But lastly, James says that counterfeit wisdom is demonic. It's affected by demons. It comes from demons. That's kind of like when he said last section that your tongue is set on fire by hell. There are demonic teachings that make their rounds around earth. They're propagated by teachers who don't carefully guard their tongues and don't carefully consider the source of their ideas, but just perpetuate the spirit of the age. There are lots of teachers who will just say stuff that everybody's saying, and there are teachers who will listen to deceiving spirits and will pass that around, and that's how demonic teachings spread around the earth. Paul names some of those to Timothy when he warns him about demonic teachings will come through those who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Don't we see those kinds of things run rampant through our culture? There are demonic wisdoms that run amok in our day. There are ideas and things that seem wise, but that come from evil spirits that are here to destroy. Marxism and the revolutionary spirit is demonic wisdom. It feeds on earthly and unspiritual envy and covetousness. Sexual liberation is demonic wisdom that feeds on earthly and unspiritual lusts. Transgenderism is demonic wisdom that feeds on earthly and unspiritual discontentment with how God has made you and ingratitude. Eastern religions are demonic wisdom that feed on earthly and spiritual hopelessness and desires for autonomy. Feminism and egalitarianism are demonic wisdoms that feed on earthly and unspiritual hatred for biblical authority and submission. Racism and identity politics is demonic wisdom that feeds on earthly and unspiritual dissensions, divisions, and rivalries. There are demonic wisdoms that make their way around, and we can't listen to them. We don't look to below, from below for the source of our wisdom, because wisdom is from above. We seek wisdom from God. We ask Him for it. We search His Word for it. And we can't be sloppy with His Word, assuming that it means whatever it kind of makes me think of when I read it, or something that I've heard a bunch of times, but carefully reading God's Word and discerning what it says in every passage. That's how you gain wisdom. And you gain it as you walk with other people who are wise, and you listen to wise teachers who speak from God's authority and not their own authority. We look for God's wisdom, guided by His Spirit, and we know that true wisdom will produce clear works that distinguish it from the earthly wisdom from below. All right, so those are the two different sources. You have real wisdom that comes down from above. You have a counterfeit wisdom that comes from the earth. It's natural, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. And then those two types of wisdom produce radically different works. So this is what James gets to, and this is really across the passage. The works of true wisdom. Jesus said that wisdom is justified by her children. True wisdom will bear good fruit. It will produce good things. Counterfeit wisdom will bear bad fruit. That's why Jesus taught us to judge teachers by their fruits. Wisdom is shown and demonstrated in good conduct. So listen to what James says in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So how do you know if somebody's wise? How do you know if you're wise? By looking at the works that are produced by wisdom. Wisdom is shown and demonstrated in good conduct. If someone thinks they're wise and understanding, then James says they should demonstrate that wisdom and understanding by their works in the meekness of wisdom. So what are the works of true wisdom? We get this in verse 17. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. What a lovely list of things. Wisdom is first pure or holy. Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. So wisdom begins with purity. Wisdom begins with holiness. Wisdom leads you to walk in God's paths, to walk in His ways, to do what He says, to hate and avoid sin, to pursue righteousness and purity, to obey God. The first fruit of wisdom is holiness of life. It's purity. If you are bound up in significant sin, then you should doubt that you have wisdom. And if you listen to someone's teaching, you should consider whether they walk clearly in God's commands. Not just do they have a bunch of facts, but what's going on in their lives. Wisdom is first pure. Then wisdom is peaceable. We serve the God of all peace. We follow the Prince of Peace. We are filled with the Spirit of peace. One of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives is peace. True wisdom is peaceable. As the psalmist said, "Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Now, we are in an ideological and spiritual war that's thrust upon us, and we need to fight with strength and vigor, with the joy of the Lord as our strength. We're called to fight the good fight of faith, but we should be peaceable people. We should be a people who love peace. We fight because we love what we protect and because we want to establish peace in the land. Like Jeremiah, we are surrounded by faithless pastors and leaders who deal falsely and say, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. We are in an evil day that Paul talks about when he tells us to stand in spiritual warfare, and we can't just say, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. But if we're wise, we love peace. We want peace. We strive for peace. We make peace wherever we can without compromising and surrendering to darkness. How about you? Do you love peace? Are you peaceable? Could your life be described as peaceable? Do you work towards peace with others? As Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle. Wisdom is gentle. Who is wise and understanding among you? Look for those who are pure, peaceable, and gentle. Wisdom is gracious, it's forbearing, it's considerate of others. Wisdom is not harsh and rude. The wise know that a gentle tongue can break a bone. That we should be bold and courageous and true and gentle. As Paul said, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. Able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. Being gentle doesn't mean you don't correct your opponents. It doesn't mean you don't have opponents. It's assumed that you do. It doesn't mean you don't correct them, but it means you do it gently. If you are strong and confident in the Lord, that He will work on your behalf, if you are rooted in the meekness of wisdom, then you can be gentle. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and open to reason. The wise can be persuaded by the truth. The wise don't assume they know everything. They're open to reason. They assume that God knows everything and are ready to be conformed to Him and to His word in anything. Are you open to reason? This is not the false humility in our day where people claim that, well, no one can know anything. We just have to remain open-minded about every possible thing. So we can just do whatever we want and just kind of blow around with the spirit of the age, thinking, well, who can really know anything? I'm open to reason. That's not what it is, but it's an openness to the truth. Wisdom makes you teachable. Wisdom gives you a spirit that's deeply submissive to God and the truth. The wise know how to say, "I was wrong." It's really freeing, isn't it? To say, "I was wrong. I'm sorry." If you never say or think you're wrong, then you're probably not wise, because the wisdom from above is open to reason. Look for areas where you're wrong, so that you can be corrected and become better. When you realize you're wrong, don't try to change the subject or excuse it away. Just stop, acknowledge it out loud. "I was wrong. and correct it. A wonderful thing. Wisdom is open to reason. Talk about the truth. Think about the truth. Discuss doctrine and learn and grow and change as you see more and more truth. Wisdom is open to reason. It's also full of mercy and good fruits. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. The wise aren't trying to drive others to the wall and nail them down every time. The wise don't exact every last ounce that justice allows. The wise abound in mercy like God abounds in mercy. The wise have a readiness to give and to forgive, to overlook transgressions, to let things go that don't need to be made a deal of. And the wise are full of good fruits. Think about a tree that's full of good fruit. Ever been around one of those trees that just produces so much fruit that you can't even pick it all? You can't deal with all of it, and it just piles up on the ground, and the animals come in and eat it. So it is with the wise. The wise don't just have a few shriveled or bitter pieces of fruit. They're full, abounding with mercy and good fruits. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial. Wisdom is impartial. The wise don't prejudge and then assume they know before they hear a matter. The wise don't use dishonest weights. They judge justly. Impartial. We talked, James walked us through those who are partial earlier in the book of James, right? Don't show partiality to the rich man who comes into your midst. And we saw how that was just judging something on the face of it, but rather looking into it and knowing well. And the last thing we see about the works of wisdom is that wisdom is sincere. The wise are sincere and genuine. Literally, it means they are without hypocrisy. They say and present who they really are and don't wear a mask and pretend and try to posture as something else. The wise are who they are and they say what they mean. The wise don't manipulate and play games. They don't lie or flatter or posture. The wise are not mealy-mouthed or two-faced. They're sincere, earnest, honest, and true. And these are the works of true wisdom. Wisdom is demonstrated by this kind of conduct, by this kind of life, because if wisdom is about knowing the truth and understanding it and then how to apply it, then you have to look at somebody's life and how they're applying the truth to know if they're truly wise. And those are the people who should teach. Those are the people we should listen to. But we are so prone to follow Saul's instead of David's, aren't we? That we need to be rooted in these things. We need to be reminded. We need to be taught. We need to be instructed that we don't just follow the guy who's tall, taller than everybody else, and think, that's the one. It's good and fine to be tall, but it says that the Lord, man looks on the outside appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So we need to look not just to the one who appears wise, but to the one who is. Now the wisdom from below has its own works. Wisdom from below is marked by bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, boasting, and being false to the truth. That's verse 14. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Wisdom from below is driven by resentful or bitter jealousy. People see that someone else has something that they want and don't have it, and so they resent them for it. Bitter jealousy. That person has something and that makes me mad, so I'm going to see if I can get myself up over them. Seek the appearance of knowledge and wisdom in order to compete with what they see someone else having. Some people are motivated to do all sorts of things from jealousy for others, from bitter jealousy. But that's a terrible reason to pursue wisdom. And it will never result in true wisdom, because wisdom is first pure. You're not going to find true wisdom by seeking for it so that you can try to one-up your neighbor and show how smart you are. Wisdom from below is characterized by bitter jealousy and also selfish ambition. Some people want to try to prove themselves better than others, smarter than others, more capable than others, or just have an insatiable need to excel all others apart from the good motive of the glory of God. Selfish ambition. And so some people will pursue lots of learning and knowledge to try to prove themselves in rivalry with others. To think they're better than others, really want to feel better than others, so they pursue knowledge and teaching and positions to demonstrate their superiority. That's the wisdom from below. It's not motivated by love for God and love for neighbor, but it's just looking sideways with jealousy, and they have that, and I want that. Ambition, they're ahead of me, but I got to get ahead of them, and everything's this competitive game to get ahead, but that drives false wisdom. It's not driven by a pure love for the truth, a pure love for wisdom and God, a desire to be able to serve and bless and help others with wisdom from God. It's just merely selfish ambition. And that leads people to boast over others, to exalt themselves over others. It says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. So if you have that bitter jealousy and a selfish ambition, then you try to boast up over others. The word James chose is not just the word for boast, but a compound word that means to boast against. It causes you to boast against others. Fools are always trying to boast in what they have and show that they're better than other people. You can pick up on this in people's teaching if you pay attention. Some people will just clearly tell you in their teaching how great they are, how wise they are, how smart they are in their teaching. But the wise want to use their wisdom to help you to see how great and wise and good God is. You can listen to a teacher's illustrations and stories, especially ones about themselves, and ask yourself, what's the intended effect of this story? If it's to boast and show their own greatness, then know that they're exhibiting earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom. As they say, a bad sermon you leave thinking, wow, that guy's really smart. A good sermon you leave thinking, wow, Jesus is really a great Savior. What's the aim? What's the outcome? What's the goal? Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition cause us to boast against others, to try to show that we're something. To be false to the truth, he says. And so those exhibiting this earthly wisdom lie about the truth. Earthly wisdom lies. It lies about facts. It lies about realities. It lies by trying to present itself as true wisdom. People won't usually tell you they have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, right? They'll pretend to be all about the glory of God. They'll cover it over, often with sometimes an excessive piety. Be careful of those who seem desperate for you to see how pious they are, or how godly they are, or how smart they are. This is what earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom looks like. And if you think about it, it's never going to work. Like, you'll never prove yourself better than everyone else or make a great name for yourself, no matter how big of a tower you built. A great name is given as a gift of God by grace, just like he promised to Abraham. So we look to God in faith with the meekness of wisdom, and we see how high he exalts us in Christ Jesus. Only when we quit trying to claw our way four spaces up our social circle with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, and instead humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. So you see, the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below look very different. They have different fruits and works. And we'll wrap up by looking at the different results of these vastly different kinds of wisdom. We see these in verses 16 and 18. Verse 16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." There will be disorder in every vile practice. Wisdom from below, this ambitious, jealous, deceitful, boasting over others kind of wisdom, produces disorder in every vile practice. The word here for disorder refers to rebellion, insurrection, riots, and uprising. That's disorder. Does that sound familiar? rebellion, insurrection, riots, and uprising. This kind of rebellion flows out of the wisdom from below. If you pursue your own selfish ambition and bitter jealousy in the church, try to exalt yourself against others and play deceitful games, it will result in a rebellious church full of disorder, where the Spirit of the Lord is filling a people. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 6, there's submission and order. Children to parents, wives to husbands, servants to masters, there is submission when you are full of the Holy Spirit. But in addition to revolutionary, riotous uprising that comes from earthly wisdom, there will also be every vile practice. Maybe we think selfish ambition and jealousy really aren't all that bad. Trying to get ahead of everyone else is really no big deal. It's just how the game is played. This is just how we do it. But listen to where it leads. Disorder and every vile practice. These things will lead to destruction and evil of every kind. So we have to repent of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition before they destroy everything around us. May these things not be named among us. But as we pursue the wisdom from above, what outcome should we expect? This is verses 17 and 18. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom from above leads to a harvest of righteousness. It leads to you abounding in every good fruit, bearing wonderful fruits of righteousness. As we seek peace, again, he comes back to peace. Remember, that was one of the characteristics of the wisdom from above, is peaceable. And here he says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do you see how central this theme is to the wisdom from above? As we seek peace and pursue it, not trying to just get ahead of each other, exalting ourselves over each other, boasting against one another, envying one another, but rather seeking harmony and mutual edification for God's glory, we will produce an abundance of fruit for God's enjoyment as we make peace with one another. So you see, the different kinds of wisdom are drastically different. One's from above, one's from below. The works are drastically different, and then the outcome is drastically different. And we obviously want the wisdom that comes down from above. And James teaches us how to spot them, how to tell the difference when he asks us, who is wise and understanding among you? We want the wisdom that comes down from heaven, don't we? And Christ himself, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, he himself is our wisdom that comes down from heaven. As we pursue Christ himself by a living faith, we will find all of these things that have been described. We will find forgiveness for our bitter jealousy, for our selfish ambition, as we confess these sins to him. And we will find grace to walk in repentance, seek true wisdom, which is found in him. By God's immense grace to us, Jesus himself was perfectly pure. Jesus was completely holy. He was upright before God as our representative head, so that his purity, his righteousness, is accounted to us by faith. Jesus himself is the most peaceable. Think about what Jesus did to bring about peace between God and man, to bring us back together in peace instead of constantly after each other. Jesus came and made peace with the Father by offering himself as a sacrifice for sin. He is our wisdom. Jesus is gentle. He's pure. He's peaceable. He's gentle. Jesus is gentle with you. He patiently deals with your sin, doesn't he? He disciplines us. He convicts us. He intercedes for us as a gentle, merciful, and faithful high priest. Jesus is open to reason. It's not like Jesus has to admit that he's wrong, because he's never wrong. He is the truth itself. But Jesus hears our prayers and our pleas, and he listens to us, and he moves in response to our requests. He is open to reason. Go to Jesus. Ask him for what you need. Plead with him for what you want, and he will listen. And he will give you what you need. Jesus is full of mercy and good fruits. Do you know this about Jesus? Do you know that he's abounding in mercy? That Jesus is abundantly full of mercy for you? When we stop trying to boast against Jesus and being bitterly jealous about his lordship, and we just humbly come and ask him for his mercy, we find him to be overflowing with it. As the Puritan Richard Sibbes wrote, there is more mercy in Christ than there is sin in us. Isn't that good news? The person of Jesus Christ is like a tree abounding in fruit. He's full of mercy and good fruits, like one of those trees that has so much fruit you could never pick it all. You could never eat it all. Go to Jesus and test it. He is full of good fruits, more than you could ever exhaust. Jesus is impartial. He judges justly and fairly always. Go to Jesus and you will always get a fair hearing. And Jesus is sincere. There's no hypocrisy in him. He is exactly who he says he is. Jesus does exactly what he says he will do. He makes promises to you, and he will fill every promise to the utmost. He will always tell you the truth. He will always tell you the truth about yourself, even if it's not that pleasant to hear it, but he'll do it gently. He'll always tell you the truth about the world. He will always tell you the truth about God and who he is, and about salvation and hope. And he will abundantly pardon all those who look to him in faith as he has promised. Jesus himself is the wisdom that comes down from heaven. As Paul said, he himself is our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification. Jesus is the wisdom from heaven. And you have a promise from God that if you lack wisdom, you can ask and he will give generously without reproach. So look to Jesus and find an eternal harvest of peace by those who make peace. Amen.